Did you know that the Bible talks about money over 2,000 times? Is money good or bad or something else? You're about to find out, so don't go away. Welcome to a brand new 7-part series produced by White Horse Media called God, Satan, Money, and You. This is going to be an exciting series. We're going to talk about a whole host of things like whether money is good or bad, what to do with our money, about the Lord's work, tithes and offerings, getting out of debt, building up an emergency fund, the issue of whether Christians should invest or not. And finally, we'll go down to the time when no man can buy or sell unless he goes along with the mark of the beast. I'm here with Paul Selko, who is administrative director for White Horse Media, and Rob Knott, who is in charge of our Bible school and also my associate speaker. Both of these men have been in the business world. I'm primarily a pastor, but I have a lot of knowledge of what this book says. So welcome here, and welcome, guys.
This is going to be here.
We've been doing a lot of preparation and praying for this whole series.
Right.
And maybe I should just kind of back up just a little bit and mention that it's really been in the last few years that I have done an intense study of the subject from the Bible. And one of the reasons was because I saw in the distance on the horizon that my house was going to get paid off finally, thank the Lord. Praise I was going to be debt-free. And another issue was that I discovered, or at least thought more seriously about the fact that I'm a dad of a family of four, and I didn't really have much of a retirement account. So all of this has just motivated me to study what the Bible says about money.
Steve, I was going to say that, you know, I'm getting older myself. I'm going to be 56 this year, and I'm thinking that the more we age, the more this becomes an issue that we think about.
I think so, too. You've got I've got about 8 years on you, so close to that. And I know Paul being in a management position.
I'm a planner, so I've been planning for a while, but it's important to understand what do we do with that money. It's more than just planning, right?
That's right.
Planning how to use the money.
That's right. And as I mentioned a little bit ago, the Bible itself, actually, you know, we know the Bible speaks of many different doctrines and topics, but over 2,000 times the Bible talks about money. So it's a big issue in God's Word.
Very much so.
And for part one, we've chosen to call this program The Root of All Evil. And it's based on a text, which is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And maybe one of you would like to read that text.
Okay.
Either one. Okay, Paul.
It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows."
Right.
So it says the love of money, right?
That's right. We want to talk about that because I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians, I'm just guessing, I don't know the percentages, but I think because of verses like this, people sometimes assume that money itself is evil.
That's right.
But that's really not what the text says, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't say, for money is the root of all evil. What is the root of all evil?
You know, Steve,
it's love, the love of money.
That the love of money is right. You know, there's a quote from Councils in Stewardship that says, "It is the love of money that the Word of God denounces the root of all evil. Money itself is a gift from God to man to be used with fidelity in His service." And, you know, she goes on to say, "God blessed Abraham and made him rich with cattle and silver and gold." And the Bible states that it is an evidence of divine favor. And also that He gave David, Solomon, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah and these other ones wealth and riches. Mm-hmm. But yes, it can become a snare.
That's right. And we'll look at some of those verses. Now, back to this text here, when it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It wasn't long ago as I was contemplating getting ready for this series, this 7-part series, it hit me as I was just thinking about this that the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm. And if we deal with money and if we try to counteract what the devil is doing through the love of money, then what we're really doing here is we are hitting the jugular of the devil's kingdom, because it says it is the root of all evil. So it really sobered me to think that we're going against the root of all evil, and that's not a minor matter.
Exactly. Now,
that's big.
You know, Steve, too, I was thinking of our time together today. Money is important. Jesus spoke about money and property 16 of the 36 parables that he talked about. And so I think Matthew, Mark, and Luke, if I remember reading, 1 in 6 verses deals with money and property. So it's a very important thing that we understand. There is right ways to use money. There's wrong ways.
That's
and
right.
So we want to decipher the two.
Right. We want to get into that. Now, when I think about the root of all evil, some evils that come to my mind are organizations like the mafia. Mm-hmm. You know, people have sold their souls to become members of the mafia and to do things that are horrific.
Corrupt.
And a lot of it is for...
Filthy
is for
lucre.
The money. Right. I think about human trafficking. You and I were just in a number of airports this last, just a couple days ago, coming
right.
back from Philadelphia and then going into Denver and then going on. And I don't know how many signs or billboards I saw going up and down the airports talking about human trafficking and about if you see any signs of human trafficking, then here's what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and why do people get involved in, you know, stealing other people, stealing children, getting them involved in human trafficking? I mean, it's just mind-blowing. And why are they doing it?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it for money. Think about women that, and men too, sometimes, that sell their...
Prostitute themselves. You know,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Prostitution, they sell their bodies. They're doing it for money. Pornography, the internet is full of evil websites. And then there's, you think about judges that often are willing to take a bribe and to not give a just sentence because of money. So the list just goes on and on of examples of how the love of money above the love of God and the love of principle can become the root of a whole host of evil things.
Yes. It's unfortunate we live in that day and age where the love of money seems to rule.
That's right.
Right.
Now, I was thinking about people. You mentioned a list of the people that had money, but what about some other examples in the Bible of people who lost their souls over money?
I think we can find a lot of examples about that.
Yeah, give me some. Let's just explore a few of those examples. Who do you think of right away?
For me, Steve, it's Gehazi.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Elisha's servant. He sees that Naaman's been healed, and Elisha wants God to receive the glory, and he doesn't want to receive any payment from Naaman, and so he bids him go in peace and enjoy the blessing that he's received and recovered from leprosy. And yet, I can see Gehazi looking over his shoulder at those gifts. Mm. And you know what's interesting to me is that as I was looking at this, when you go to Adam and Eve in the garden, it says that she saw the tree, the fruit was beautiful, pleasant to the eyes. Achan, it says he saw this Babylonian garment.
Right. And a wedge, you know, a wedge of gold.
Yeah, it's almost as if they're captivated by sight. Mm-hmm. We have to control that when we see something that tempts us, if we have God's law in our hearts and we look at things like Abraham did, where he said to, who was it that... Abraham was talking to when he rescued his nephew Lot, and they were going to give him, you know, a reward for doing it. He says, I will not take so much as a shoelace or a latchet. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to think I did this for filthy lucre.
That's right.
And so he basically said, I want to say that God is the possessor of heaven and earth. I'm a steward, and God is going to richly bless me regardless of what happens here today. So you see people who... you know, see the riches in the booty, and it overwhelms them to where they give in, just like David. Again, he saw a beautiful woman.
That's right.
It became a deadly thing where he fell into that trap.
Right. And back to Gehazi, like you mentioned, he was Elisha's servant. It was Elijah or Elisha?
Elisha.
Elisha's servant, and then Elisha had been healed by God, and then the Roman, or he was an Assyrian, the Syrian Naaman wanted to give him money, and Elisha said, no, I want this to go to the Lord.
Right.
And then Gehazi left the camp and
went after him and said,
made
up a story,
lied
and said, what did he say? Did he say my master changed his mind?
There's some guests coming, I think, and he could use that money now.
We have some people who need that change of raiment.
Change of raiment, and money.
And so he took it, and then he went back, and Elisha said, where have you been? Mm.
Can I read?
I haven't been anywhere. What did he say? I've been nowhere.
He wasn't
your servant has been nowhere.
The Lord, was he?
That's right. And then what happened to him?
Well, the leprosy that was on Naaman went on to Gehazi then. Mm-hmm. So he ended up with that leprosy.
Yeah.
As a result of his coveting what didn't belong to him. So.
That's yes. Right. Robbie, you were going to read something?
Yeah. It's just kind of the end of Gehazi. What we hear about him, it says, then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? This is Elisha speaking. Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous as white as snow. So that was his reward for having that covetous desire to really, I would say, misrepresent God by going after and receiving that which God didn't intend for them to have.
Right. God gave Naaman healing unselfishly.
Correct.
And then Gehazi,
free of charge.
Right. Gehazi wanted to turn that into a situation to enrich himself.
That's right. You know, that leads me to think of Judas, too.
Me, too. I'm thinking the same thing.
And Judas, he coveted after money. He ended up betraying the Lord for money. And well, how did that end for him?
Right.
He hung himself.
He loved money more than he loved the Lord.
Right. You're right, Paul. And that situation with Judas is really probably the main reason why, as we were thinking about a title for this series, I was thinking about calling this God, Satan, and then money and you. And a lot of it had to do with what happened with Judas. And let me read. I've got my Bible right open here to this. Luke chapter 22, verse 3 says, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way, and he communed with the chief priests and the captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad, and they agreed to give him money.
Mm.
So here you have in verse 3 that the devil, Satan, has entered Judas. I mean, Satan was working on him for quite a while, but at this point, the devil just completely took possession of him.
Yeah.
And when he was totally possessed by Satan, the next thing he did was he went out, he made an agreement with the priests, and they agreed to give him money. And Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And as Paul, as you mentioned, it did not end well with him. It wasn't long after this that he went and hanged himself. And it says his guts came out and the dogs ate the, I think it mentions a dog. Maybe I'm thinking of Jezebel.
Yeah.
The dogs eating Jezebel.
His bowels did break open.
Yeah. So it's just, you get this picture of the devil entering a man and then money consuming him. He wanted that money, and then when it ended, he's hanging from a tree, and his guts are falling out.
Yeah.
So that's a strong warning for us to be warned that we don't let the love of money control us, because it's not going to end well.
So, Steve, what is it about fallen humanity that makes people lust over money? It makes us. I mean, it leads to breaking of God's law, murder, adultery. It leads to, you talk about some of these things. So.
Yeah, what is it? That's a good question. What is it that is in fallen man? Well, if you think about Lucifer, what entered him was a desire for self-exaltation, mm-hmm. to exalt himself above God. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's the love of money. When people think, if I have money, then I can be, they probably wouldn't say these words, but like Lucifer said, I can be like the Most High. Yeah, that's right. I can do whatever I want. I'm in control. I have power.
That's right.
You know, I'm above other people. It's that same principle.
That maybe feel a need for God in my life.
That's right. That's right. And yet people don't realize that money and power and, you know, having that kind of influence really doesn't satisfy the heart. Yeah. It doesn't satisfy the soul. And if we were to be able to have a spotlight and look at Lucifer now he's Satan. He's no longer Lucifer, the shiny light bearer. He's now Satan, the devil. And if we were to look at him, we would not see a happy being. He's dark, he's evil, he's sinister, he's miserable. He knows his end is ahead of him. He's going to die a horrible death.
Yep.
He's going to be punished for all the sins that he's committed, and then he's tempted other people to commit. So
he's a being who doesn't give. He only takes, right?
That's right.
And that's a warning with money, too. I think we need to learn to give. Right.
That's right. And we definitely want to focus on that. So as far as some other people, you've mentioned Gehazi. We've talked about Judas.
How about the rich young ruler? Maybe he could fit into this discussion.
Yeah, how does he fit into this?
Well, he asked Jesus, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Right? And Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. And he started naming off some of the commandments. And it says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he says, well, there's one thing you lack. He says, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me. Now, that makes people scratch your head a little bit. As far as Christians, does that mean we should all sell everything we have and give to the poor? Well, I think Jesus understood that for this young man,
yes,
this was a struggle in his life. Maybe he had a love for money, and Jesus was helping him to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
But it says he walked away sorrowful.
I would imagine, Paul, that all of these characters, and Steve, that we're talking about, Gehazi, Judas, Balaam, we could list a bunch of them. I'm sure if we could go back and track in their younger years, they were making compromises along the way that finally led them to do the dastardly deed that Gehazi did or that Judas did or any of those other Bible characters. So it's sometimes we, you know, discount that was just a small sin on the side and, you know, it didn't cause any harm and nobody got hurt. But yet in our characters, we're hardening our heart. That Holy Spirit speaks to us. You shouldn't do that. You should make it right. That overpayment at the bank and you didn't make it right, or that selfish little thing that Judas had could easily be in any of our hearts. And if we don't address it and let Jesus have his way with us, you know, even Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was trying to help people see, don't follow me for the wrong reasons.
That's right. Money is not the most important thing in life. That's right. And when I think about the rich young ruler, Paul, it says that eventually he walked away sorrowful. It says because he had great possessions.
Yeah, that's right.
So his possessions led him, or his heart led him, to go in the wrong direction. I've got a quote here. Where is that quote? I've got a lot of quotes here. Here's a quote from Andy Stanley, who said, greed is not a financial issue. It is a heart issue.
Oh, that's right.
And that's what led the rich young ruler to put his possessions above the Lord.
He put above the Lord.
Was because his heart wasn't right with God. Now,
I was going to say, Steve, there's another quote I like, Ben Franklin. He said, he that is of the opinion money will do everything may well be suspected of doing everything for money. Hmm. If it becomes a controlling aspect in your life, it's easy to all of a sudden be out of balance.
Mm. That's right.
That becomes the most important thing.
Here's another quote from Oscar Wilde. When I was young, I thought that money was the most important thing in life. Now that I'm old, I know that it is. And, you know, that impresses me that, well, he's not entirely correct there. Money is an important part of life, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus. Now let's just shift a little bit. We've talked about some, and you've mentioned, Paul, We have in the Bible, we have examples of like Judas. We have Balaam, who loved money, mm-hmm. lost his soul over money. The rich young ruler, Gehazi, Achan, and there's other examples. But we also have examples, like you mentioned, of Abraham, Jacob, Job, Solomon, Joseph of Arimathea, mm-hmm. and these people did have money. And probably the main text I'd like to read, and maybe you have some other ones, is in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. This is quite a quotation from the Bible. It says that Abraham was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold.
Yep.
So if there's something inherently wrong with having money or having wealth, then Abraham did a terrible thing by being rich.
Well, Steve, what about Solomon? He asked for wisdom. And then the Lord responded to him, ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for wealth, but I want to add that wealth to you anyways. Right. So if money itself was an evil, I don't think the Lord would have blessed
that's
him
right.
with
he
riches.
He wouldn't have given
either.
Him evil.
Right. And
that's one of the main points we want to make here is that money is very important in life. We all have to deal with money.
We can't
all
avoid use it.
We can't avoid it. It's just like food. And you can eat, we all have to eat. If we eat a lot of junk food, it's going to hurt us. But if we eat good, healthy food, it's good for us.
Right.
And money is neutral. It's not good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
It can create within us, or the evil desire can strengthen for the love of money that can destroy us. But it can also be a great blessing if we have the right heart and if we use money wisely.
If we train our mind exactly how to use it wisely and
what
it's really for.
That's right. Well, I have another quote.
It all belongs to God, right?
That's exactly right. I have a quote here from Councils on Stewardship, page 98. It's talking about Jacob, 98-99. It says that he had become a wealthy man, and a very large amount of property passed from his possessions to the treasury of the Lord. Many in our day fail where Jacob made a success. So Jacob was very wealthy, but he used his money wisely for God. And it says here that the problem with other people is that they don't use it for the Lord. Here's another quote. I've been really reading this book quite a bit. Councils on Stewardship, page 133, says the followers of Christ are not to despise wealth. They are to look upon wealth as the Lord's entrusted talent. So wealth itself is not bad.
You know, John Wesley, I read something that he wrote, and he agrees to that point. He says, if those who gain all they can and save all they can will likewise give all they can, then the money that they gain, the more they will grow in grace and the more treasury they will lay up in heaven. I think he gets it. It's not inherently evil, like you said, to gain wealth, but if you have it, you have more you can give, and you should have that mindset, right?
That's right, and that's Dave Ramsey's principle is work hard, save your money, build up your emergency fund, and then he talks about investing. He's an investor. He believes in a diversified group of investments, thinking long term, and his goal is to help people to, once they've got all their ducks in a row, is then to make money so that they can give more.
That's right.
He talks about being an outrageous giver.
Yeah.
So that's really the principle that the Bible talks about.
See, that was the problem of the rich fool, not the rich young ruler, but the rich fool who, remember, he built the barns,
tear
down the barns.
The parable in Luke, what you're referring to.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And what was interesting about that, I'm just going to pick it up in verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. So I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and now I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so being rich and having plenty, it was that he wasn't the channel to bless the needy. And those around him it could use. He was only for himself.
He was only
thinking
about himself.
It's required, and he wasn't a faithful steward.
That's right. And again, back to the other side, that wealth is not bad. In Deuteronomy 8:17, God told the Israelites, He said, don't say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Mm-hmm. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, mm-hmm. that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So the danger is if we do make a lot of money or any money that we'll think, you know, hey, look what I did. And God says, be careful of that because I want you to realize that I'm the one who gives you the power to get wealth. And ultimately, we are stewards, mm-hmm. which is what this book is called, Counsel on Stewardship.
I like that term, stewardship.
That's right. We're stewards of the Lord's gifts, our talents, our means, our property, mm-hmm. our influence, our speech, our brains. All of these are talents and gifts that God has given us. To be used wisely.
And for his glory.
That's right. To advance his work.
I just wanted to give another quote from somebody famous. Winston Churchill once said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give.
Mm.
Exactly.
We want to make a lasting legacy behind us. Was the world a better place because you were here, Steve? Because you were here, Paul? You know, did we leave a legacy?
Yeah.
That's right. What is our legacy? And I read recently, it's not... The issue of money is what we do with it and what it does to us.
That's right.
So these are all big issues, and we're going to be talking a lot more about a lot of other issues during this seven-part series. Part one is behind us now, almost, and we've got six more to go, and we're going to go deep. We're going to show how money is a big issue in the sight of God, what we do with it, what it does to us, whether we're just takers, whether we're like Scrooge, or whether we're givers. You know, what is our motivation? Why are we doing this? And what does the Lord want us to do? God's work depends on money. He needs people to grow their money wisely so they can give more money to his work, which ultimately is going to lead people to Jesus, who was rich in heaven, but he became poor, so we, through his poverty, might become rich. So stick with us. We'll be back for more of this incredible series.
We hope you enjoyed this video. Before you go, check out these wonderful books for sharing. The Truth About the Sabbath is packed with information for anyone wanting to understand the Sabbath subject. Also, the 666 beast identified. What it means to you identifies both the beast and his strange number 666. What do the beast and his number have to do with you? Both are available in paperback and ebook versions from Whitehorse Media.
We hope you've been blessed by this Whitehorse Media production. To support Whitehorse Media, please call us at 1-800-78-BIBLE. That's 1-800-782-4253. You may also send your donations by mail to Whitehorse Media, P.O. Box 130, Priest River, Idaho, 83856, or donate online at whitehorsemedia.com.
And now for some breaking news. Whitehorse Media has just launched its new free online Bible school, Thunder in the Holy Land, filmed in Israel to help you and others discover the true teachings of God's Word. To learn more, visit WhitehorseMediaBibleschool.com. You'll be glad you did.